Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Jeffrey Gittimer with us a little bit later on this hour. The program is called Who Knows You, basically. You know, you're looking to do business with somebody. Rather than who you know, it's who knows you. It's a thing called Google. If you Google your name, that'll give you a good indication. If you have zero, then nobody knows you.
So it might be by design, though.
If you're a fugitive.
You wonder about some people, you know. You Google them and you think, I'm going to do a little background, and you just don't see much out there. And it's like they don't get it, or maybe they don't want to be.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of folks like that.
Yep.
Gene Bliss is with us, too, here momentarily. Create an emotional connection. Gene has a new book called I Love You More Than My Dog, and this is one of the chapters from the book. Not the whole chapter, just a little bit.
A real barker, I should say.
A barker, yeah.
Yeah. Put a collar on it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Talking about the book, right?
Of course.
Okay, good. Thank you
yes.
very much. HGTV. I love HGTV.
Yes, Home and Garden, yeah.
Wish they had it on more than 24 hours a day.
I thought it smelled funny in today's studio, and that's fertilizer you're sitting on over there.
Stepped in it earlier, right?
Yeah.
HGTV and Lowe's have teamed up. As you know, programming and agencies and clients and such are looking for creative ways to get the word out. And it's no longer just a thing about spot placement, obviously. Teaming up for exclusive content deal. It's an often buzzed about concept. Marketers as media brands, and HGTV's new partnership with Lowe's is a great example of that. Kim Miles, who is one of the winners of the HGTV Superstars
mm-hmm.
shows.
Yeah.
She's going to be appearing in a series of online videos for Lowe's.com. Obviously, website stuff. The pair has teamed up in a deal that will see HGTV create exclusive content for home improvement retailer, as well as lend Lowe's its on-air talent. Miles, host of the network's Miles of Style, will appear in online videos for Lowe's.com, as we said. And I think it's she'll also have some stuff in on Facebook and Lowe's Creative Ideas, which is a magazine that they have. Very good idea.
Anytime you can have the word ho and be a female and be associated in a positive way, I'm all for it.
I see.
In today's world, especially HGTV.
Okay.
In that way. You know, Ray, YouTube is said to be in preliminary talks with the networks and studios to stream individual television shows online for a fee. Google's video site envisions something similar to what Apple and Amazon's already offered. First run shows without commercials for $1.99. I think that's a good deal.
Really?
I don't know who would pay that. First run without commercials. Well, without commercials, maybe if they're first run.
Okay, I don't mind. Yeah, okay, I suppose.
But you know, when this stuff is really going to take off is when they get the internet, which they're working on, and there's a few of these systems out right now. They're just not quite there technologically. But when you get your internet on the television set and you can handle that from your living room, that's when this, web-based browsing capability of accessing video and other programs is really going to take off, I think.
I really like Hulu's model. I think they do a great job. It's very classy.
Right.
It's a nice format to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
The commercials are tastefully placed.
But you're watching it on your PC or your screen. Imagine if you're watching it on your big screen or your plasma or your whatever in your living room, and that converges, internet on the television. I mean, that's when all this is just going to
go through
the roof.
But a lot of these televisions obviously have the PC connection as well.
It's very small, and some are going to actually be built in. You're right. There are a few that are built into the system right now, but there are only a few choices, and they're expensive, and that technology will become commonplace, I think, within maybe, say, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I like that. That's a good plan. Here we are at 2010, and lots of cool stuff going on. Coke's 2010 holiday plan, they say. This is not for the holidays. You know, we're recording this during the holidays.
Right.
And actually, you're hearing this in January, but it says, get ready for Coca-Cola branded It's a Wonderful Life apparel, glassware, and holiday gift items. Not this December, though. The beverage giant is partnering with Paramount to develop a line of licensed products for this year, 2010.
Yeah.
Idea was born out of a brainstorming session with Paramount's licensing departments. They sat down and watched It's a Wonderful Life again, which is a good thing to do. And but this time they were looking for new ways to license a property for the film's 65th anniversary, 65 years ago.
Huh.
Amazing.
Wow.
We're looking for a way to reinvigorate the brand. We were thinking, who can we partner with in a program that would work seamlessly? And obviously there it was. Coca-Cola prominently featured in the scenes that took place at Gower Drugs. Paramount reached out to Coke, which is celebrating its 125th anniversary next year. That's a long time, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. So as we roll into 2010, you look for ties to the classics here. It's a Wonderful Life. We have Gene Bliss coming up here. And I want to get this on before we get a chance to tell you a little bit more about our guest today, Jeff Klein. But Gene Bliss, it's create emotion. Specifically, she says, create emotional connections. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Beloved companies decide differently than everybody else, acutely aware of how their every action impacts how customers feel and respond to them. They take the time to make purposeful decisions about the contacts they have with customers. Beloved companies make a choice. They actively decide to connect who they are as people with the decisions they make and how they run their business. The common denominator among beloved companies is that they consistently find a way to weave their humanity into the way they make decisions. They never lose sight of the people impacted by them. Customers admire the beloved companies for how they are treated, not for how they are handled. And they love these companies because of how they feel when they come in contact with them. The language on the packing slip seems as if an old friend wrote it, not a computer. And the voice on the other end of the line asks about your mom for whom you're buying a sweater. How beloved companies make decisions inspire acts that transcend normal business practices to create an emotional connection with customers. Where is your emotional connection with your customers today?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Jeff Klein is with us today. Jeff is a CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing. Jeff designs and facilitates collaborative cause-related marketing programs. He currently serves as president of the Conscious Capitalism Alliance and Conscious Capitalism, Inc. It's a nonprofit dedicated to liberating the entrepreneurial spirit for good, co-founded by John Mackey, CEO of Whole Foods Market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Jeff was one of the visionaries and driving forces behind Private Music, the career of Yanni, where this year Yanni's actually going to get a last name, Yanni Smith. Spinning and Seeds of Change, and has consulted for the Esalen Institute, the National Geographic Society. Have to ask him. I've got a telescope from them. Global Giving, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, among others. Jeff wrote his new book, Working for Good, Making a Difference While Making a Living, to support conscious entrepreneurs, leaders, and change agents at work.
Yeah.
California, he lives. That's a good place.
San Rafael.
It's Working for Good is what we're talking about today here at the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, we've got Jeff for a few segments today, and we hope you stay with us here at the Advertising Show. It's being powered by Shipple.com and a marketing platform called Tendency. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. com. It's good stuff as we roll into 2010 with a lot of great stuff for you here at the Advertising Show. We're glad you're here. We want to remind you as well to tell a friend about the Advertising Show. Back in just a minute with Jeff.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt.
Welcome back. As promised in The Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillins, Brad Forsythe, and our guest out of California, Jeff Klein, CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing and author of a brand new book called Working for Good. I like the sound of that. Jeff, it is a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us today.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, to get us started, why don't you just talk for a few minutes a little bit about your organization, Cause Alliance Marketing.
Yes, well, as you indicated in the introduction, I design and facilitate marketing alliances that address social issues while they address the needs and objectives of program partners. So as an example, I'm doing a campaign right now for a company called One Natural Experience that produces coconut water. And coconut water happens to be a very healthy product. It's great for hydration and replenishment of electrolytes and potassium and other things. And we're educating mothers and pregnant women and healthcare practitioners about the benefits and bringing together the one with a nonprofit called Healthy Child, Healthy World and a couple marketing firms, one called Pulse Health and Wellness, another one publishes a magazine, and all coming together to educate consumers and healthcare practitioners about the benefits of coconut water. Just a current example, something I'm working on right now.
Well, I must tell you, I've heard about the product. I saw it in my local, I don't want to call it health food store because that sounds dated, but, you know, the Whole Food type of store, and saw the product prominently there displayed and had read a few things as well, had not heard about the product before. And
The cool part, it comes with a little paper umbrella. Along with
no,
them.
That's the cocktail.
That oh, that's the other one. Yeah, yeah, okay, that's right. I forgot.
So I'm curious, Jeff, do you always have a nonprofit tie-in when you put together your cause marketing efforts?
That's a good question. It's essential, but typically yes, because nonprofits tend to focus on the social issues and to be issue experts, and the extent to which a nonprofit is well-developed and well-established, they have credibility and relationships in the field, which make the campaign more effective. And nonprofits can benefit from an alliance with for-profits, businesses, because the companies have resources and distribution channels, et cetera, that can spread the message out, as well as they have customers and employees and others who can join the campaign. So typically engaging partners from different sectors, nonprofit, for-profit, even government, makes for a richer, fuller ecosystem, and everybody benefits from the process.
Well, while we're on the subject, any other misconceptions about cause marketing you'd like to cover?
Well, first of all, what I do is a little different from typical cause marketing, as I very specifically facilitate alliances. By definition, I'm going to find more than one entity that's going to work together to address an issue. Secondly, cause marketing can often be like corporate social responsibility. It can be greenwashing or somewhat superficial. I really look to facilitate programs that are core to a company's purpose and mission, and one that aligns with why they're in business. So, again, some cause marketing programs do that as well, but many do not.
So is your organization, Cause Alliance Marketing, a for-profit or non-profit?
Oh, it's a for-profit.
Yeah. So what's your business model? Do you charge by the project, or how do you do that?
It depends on the project. If I'm working for a non-profit, I'll have a retainer plus commissions. If I'm working for a corporation, typically it's a retainer, though the extent to which there are opportunities to engage other businesses, then it'll be a combination of retainer and commission.
And commissions you mean by media commissions, correct?
No, I mean commissions on bringing in other corporate partners. So if they've got somebody else who comes to the table with resources that expand the campaign, then I'll receive, you know, either a commission or a bonus based on the level of resources that other partners are bringing to the table.
I see what you mean. Your company conducted a survey a couple years ago, Jeff, and found that over 90% of consumers found it important for companies to support cause and charity-type organizations. I'm curious, how do those numbers hold up today, especially during a down economy?
Well, first of all, I didn't do that research, but that research has been done. The research has been done by Cone Roper, Duke University, and others, and the research is holding up very well. The recent surveys post, you know, economic meltdown hold very solid. Consumers and employees essentially demand that companies do more than just deliver a quality product and service, but that they serve society in some other way. Very consistent, very solid.
And you found that that hasn't waned any in current times?
Not at all. If anything, I'm finding more interest in that because it's a real differentiator. First of all, the fact is people are demanding it.
Yeah.
And companies are recognizing that they're demanding it. And another thing, you know, in my work with John Mackey and the Conscious Capitalism Alliance, and really studying the conscious business model and track record, you look at companies that are purpose-driven, that are oriented to serving all of their stakeholders, which includes their customers, their employees, the communities they work in, their investors and their vendors, serving all of them, those companies are outperforming the S&P 500 and, you know, companies in general. You look at the Fortune 100 best places to work, same thing. Those companies in that index outperform the market. So when companies are more conscious and when they are serving society very purposefully and explicitly, they perform better.
Well, you know, next segment, we're going to jump into your book and talk about what your motivation was behind writing the book and also some of the great information that both Ray and I found in the book. And I'd like to highly recommend anyone out there that you're thinking about doing something that is more than just turning a profit and getting a little better, more positive profile and participating in various causes. This is a wonderful read and great advice, and we'll jump into that next segment.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and Jeff Kleinholz here out of California. Back in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz.
Jeff Klein is with us this weekend here at The Advertising Show. Jeff is the author of a brand new book called Working for Good, also the CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you here at The Advertising Show.
Thank you. It is good to be with you. It's fun talking with you guys.
Thanks.
Well, we're honored to have you, Jeff. Tell us, how did you and John Mackey get hooked up to develop the Conscious Capitalism Alliance as well as the Conscious Capitalism, Inc. nonprofit?
Yeah, well, John started as an organization called Flow, and he started it with a guy named Michael Strong, and I had met Michael, and 4 years ago I was invited to a retreat at John's ranch, and coming out of that retreat, John and Michael and their board asked me if I would run the organization for him, build it with him. So I did that for 4 years. I just recently resigned to focus on Cause Alliance Marketing and a Working for Good Alliance in the building, but so I worked with John for 4 years, and he's just a delight.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a great example of more than just running a company. He's got a great way of a different way of running a company, and quite successful, I might add. Share with us, Jeff, why did you decide to write the book Working for Good?
Well, thank you. I wrote the book because I'd spent 20, 30 years building various businesses, and you referred to them in the opening, from private music and Yanni's career and spinning and Seeds of Change, Chi Running and others, as well as my own Cause Wines marketing early projects. And what I found is people that have the aspiration to do good through business, and many who have aspiration to do good through nonprofits, whatever, their kind of mission, like, I'm going to do this, overshadows everything else, and the way that they take care of themselves or treat themselves and the way they treat each other doesn't quite fit up to the idea of making the world a better place. You know, people trash each other. And I really found that people hadn't developed the awareness or the skill to really cultivate themselves and each other and deep relationships that are respectful, that are purposeful. I also found that businesses focus too much on one thing, like traditionally on profit or socially motivated on their social mission, and they disregarded the business aspects. So people needed to have a more, call it, holistic, humanistic approach to doing business. And I also found, you know, companies that did focus on the people and focus on relationships ended up doing better and creating healthier businesses, you know, financially, in the marketplace, customer loyalty is greater, employee loyalty is better. So I reflected on, you know, all of my experience and all the things that I saw around me and said, okay, what are the kind of core lessons and core skills that I found are effective at building what we'll call a conscious business? So I did it in part for myself as well as to share my, you know, my lessons, both hard and easy, with others to perhaps facilitate a quicker, easier path for, you know, young people coming up.
And you've developed something called the conscious business model that you outline in your book early on. Can you kind of tick through that for us, please?
Yeah, first of all, I won't take credit for developing it. John Mackey certainly has played a key role in that, but there are others who've recognized this model. There's a book called Firms of Endearment by Raj Sisodia, David Wolf, and Jag Seth, which profiles 20-some companies that really follow this model. And the model is based on three core principles. The first one is purpose, or deeper purpose. It recognizes that every business has a purpose beyond return on investment. And just to give you an example, Walmart, for instance, right? Walmart, at its inception and for most of its history, has been a purpose-driven company. Its purpose is to provide access to goods that people couldn't otherwise afford, right? So its purpose isn't make the world a better place, it's provide access to goods. Southwest Airlines is another one with a very straightforward purpose. Democratize the airways, right? Give people access to fly.
Yeah.
Just as two clear examples, right? So one is recognizing that purpose and really organizing yourself around that purpose. Secondly, and this is somewhat related, is typically you think of, you know, the purpose of business is business, it's return on investment, and the orientation of business is towards its stockholders or its shareholders. Well, in the conscious business model, the orientation is to all of your stakeholders or all of your core stakeholders. So it's your customers, your team members or employees, your investors, your vendors, the communities you do business in, and even the environment. And recognizing that you have a opportunity and, in some extent, a responsibility to create value for all of them and to cultivate a harmony of interests rather than the, you know, conflict of interest between them. And when you do, you can kind of look at it as an ecosystem or a garden. When you take care of, you know, all of the elements in that system, the whole system is healthier.
On that note, let's take a break here in the advertising show. Our special guest out of California is Jeff Klein, CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing and author of a brand new book called Working for Good. Good stuff in the book, and we'll talk more about that here in just a minute on the advertising show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
The Advertising Show, and our special guest is Jeff Klein, CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing and author of Working for Good. Back with Jeff here. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about social businesses in your book, and I'm curious, how is a social business, Jeff, any different from a profit-driven company that supports a social cause?
That's a really good question, and there are a couple different definitions for social business. Muhammad Yunus, who won the Nobel Peace Prize with Grameen Bank in 2006, defines a social business as a business that essentially doesn't generate profits for its shareholders. I have a broader definition, I and others have a broader definition, which is a business that has integral to its existence serving society, right? So the way you defined it, it's a business that's profit-driven, and then it does kind of give something back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the current CSR model or corporate social responsibility model in response to customer demand or activist pressure or a sense of, oh, we better balance out, got to do some good to balance out what we're doing in business. A social business is one that recognizes that all business is social, right? It's people coming together with a purpose and business exists in a social context, right? We exist in society. Like Adam Smith, when he wrote his famous book, Wealth of Nations, he recognized that business in commerce exists in a social context, and that within that social context, if people are pursuing their own ends, everyone will serve. But there's morality and values that inform the way they interact with each other. His was not a value-neutral model, right? It was in the context of society, and that then, societies were smaller, right? You lived in communities, you lived in towns. So a social business is one that recognizes that, hey, we have to pursue profit, we have to deliver value in our products and services, but we also exist in and of and for the society that gives us birth, so to speak. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure does. And when as you describe social business and you talk about the morality behind the cause and so forth, I think about, and I want to get your take, we've covered green marketing and as you referred to, I believe in the first segment, greenwashing, for those that may not be familiar, just what it sounds like, the tendency to want to take a green marketing effort and leverage it in a way that is maybe not truly representative of what we know green marketing to be in the truest sense. What is your take on those that are out there trying to leverage green marketing in a way to better their company and maybe not fulfilling it from a moralistic standpoint?
Well, first of all, we live in an age of transparency, right? And we live in an age, especially younger generations, that demand authenticity and honesty. So end of the day, what goes around comes around, and you can only hide so long. So I think in the long run, people that are taking advantage or telling stories or leveraging, as you say, green marketing to make themselves look good, it's going to show up at some point. You're gonna have to pay the piper at some point. So one of the things that I'm doing now with a group of colleagues is building a Working for Good collaborative that will facilitate companies to engage in genuine service to society in ways that align with their core purpose and strategy, and that allows them to transparently reveal what they're doing as well as to acknowledge what maybe they're not doing, that they'd like to be doing, and to engage their stakeholders in an honest, transparent dialogue. So I think that's where we're heading. I think we're heading to a place where you got to lay it out on the table, and you got to be coming from a real place, or you're going to get found out. And ultimately, you know, you're not going to be creating the real value for society, and so you're not going to get the recognition anyway. You know, you can only fireworks only last so long.
Well, Jeff, as we begin a new year, any thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners as we're all looking for a positive start to 2010?
Yeah, well, for me, it's always, you know, find the voice of your purpose that's calling for you in your job, in your, you know, if you're going to create something new, if you're going to take a step and go for it. You know, say yes. Say yes. And when you say yes to that calling, you know, I'm going to stand for this, man, put a big flag in the ground. And whatever comes, you know, hold that flag in the ground. Because if you really stand for something, you're going to have others and the world are going to stand up for you.
That's great advice as we head into 2010 here, and a great book, too, Working for Good. Jeff, the best of luck. Sell lots of books, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Sheldon and Brad Forsyth. Back in just a minute with more.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
Our thanks again to Jeff Klein, CEO of Cause Alliance Marketing and author of the book Working for Good. WorkingForGood.com, by the way, the website as well. So, let's see. Next week, we've got Jonathan Nee, who is director of media at Columbia University. He also wrote a book called The Curse of the Mogul. He's the co-author of that book, and that is our guest next week here.
Great book.
On The Advertising Show. Yeah, we look forward to that as well. Tell your friends about the show and get them to listen in. You know, this show goes all the way back to 2001, and as a result, there are a bunch of interviews that are recorded. We were podcasting before it was actually called podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that stuff is here at the website, theadvertisingshow.com as well.
It's called Ray and Bradcasting.
Something like that. We should have coined a damn phrase and we would have been fine.
And you know, we can start saying in the second decade of the advertising show, since we just closed out the
That's
single
true.
Digits, yes. Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Yeah. Happy anniversary to us. So, you know, obviously they've been talking about how long it's going to be before all of this stuff comes back. I'm not talking about the economy. In this particular case, I'm talking about the advertising agency type revenue stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're suggesting, here's a story from Media Week that suggests that it's going to be about a couple of years or more. For the global ad economy, the worst of the recession appears to be over. Well, that's what they've been saying for the past several months.
Right.
Although a full recovery will take years, not months, according to new ad spending forecast. WPP's Group M and Publicis Group's Zenith Optimedia company executives presented the forecast at a session of the UPS Media Conference in New York. This goes back in December. The forecast both predict very modest return to worldwide spending growth in 2010, less than 1% after a sharp drop in the level of spending this past year in 2009. Both companies upwardly revised their global spending projections from just a few months ago. They said they'll take it longer than their, you know, everybody thinks. I think people want some good news. That's where you hear that, oh, it's coming back. It'll be fine. But I'll tell you one thing. A lot of those companies that hung in there and did what they needed to do as far as advertising and marketing did the right thing here as well.
Yeah.
As it returns. So good for them.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Ray, and I'm looking forward to, and I think it's already looking up, and I think we all feel a more positive.
A little bit of energy.
More positive energy as we enter into 2010. You know, if you have children and they're logging into Facebook, MySpace, and various other social media,
as a
parent, you need to be aware. You need to, you know, do your homework. You can Google top 10 things that a parent should know about Facebook and make sure that your children's Facebook pages are properly secure, I think. But this was interesting. More than 3,500 convicted New York State sex predators are being booted from Facebook and MySpace in the first sweep of registered sex offenders under the Electronic Security and Targeting of Online Predators Act. Facebook alone disabled over 3,400 accounts. So, I mean, you know, there's a good example, and that's just New York State registered.
Okay. So, but 3,400 got on Facebook?
In New York State alone. So they have a New York residence. Now, you go worldwide with that, and you just go across all states and then go across the world, and what could you be looking at?
Tens
of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. So it's crazy. I mean, just be careful out there.
Man, that's bad.
Whether you live in a state that has such protection or not, it's all about protecting yourself and making sure that you're, as a parent, aware of certain security measures that you can take on social media these days to make sure that your children are protected.
That means, Mom and Dad, if you haven't engage, get involved, and get uncomfortably involved as well. To let them know that send the message that you are indeed a concern.
I saw something on the news the other day, Ray. Nickelodeon has a website, and you can click through to various links that they have. They've traded links with certain companies. They get a percentage when you go over through another link. And there are some risque sites that they have linked to, and yet they say, well, we make note that you are now leaving Nickelodeon's website when you click onto this. Well, when a child can click over to risque pornography kind of stuff, I don't think it's right originating on a Nickelodeon type website. That's crazy.
That's bad. But then again, they have SpongeBob SquarePants, so that's another story.
That's true.
And with that said, Jeffrey Gittimer's topic today is called Who Knows You? How perfect. He means this in a good way, though. Listen.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
You know, there's an old adage that goes, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That old adage is wrong. It's both what you say and how you say it. But let me give you another adage. In sales, it's not who you know. In sales, it's who knows you. Authentic salespeople are well known. Successful salespeople are well known. Now, let's take it in steps. If you're well known among your coworkers, that doesn't really count. If you're well known among your customers, that counts. If you're well known within your industry, that really counts. The big question is, how do you become well known and why should you care? Because the more well known you become, the more authentic you are perceived to be. Part of being authentic is about being honorable and being real. Regardless of what you do to build your reputation, if your actions are unethical or people perceive you as being insincere, your authenticity is going to suffer a little bit. Know what I mean? The best way to test your authenticity is go to google.com, enter your name, and hit return. What happened? Nothing? Well, not much? A few things? Well, I use Google as a measuring stick for reputation and authenticity. So do your customers, so do your prospects, so do your industry leaders. Get your own website, write a few articles, make a speech, get Googleable.
quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, G-I-T-O-M-E-R.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
Thanks, Jeffrey. The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Don't forget next week, it's Jonathan Nee, Director of Media at Columbia University and also the co-author of The Curse of the Mogul. So
will we get extra credit for that? His Director of Media for the for Columbia University? My goodness.
It hasn't worked in the past, so I don't understand
why. We'll ask.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly. Hope you're enjoying the show. Tell your friends to listen in as well as we roll into 2010. We're glad to have you as a regular listener or even a sporadic listener. That's okay, too. Let's see if we can make this a regular date as we crank these shows out for you here at theadvertisingshow.com. Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We'll talk to you next week.